trust that God is going to bless you guys. We know that it has been a journey for you, and we know that God is doing special things in your lives. And I can promise you, your daughter keeps us up to date with what's happening in your lives, and she's very proud of what's happening even through your lives. So, yeah, congratulations. We are very proud of you, and it's a beautiful journey. This morning I just want to add to what Chrissy said as well. You know, the 21 days for us is special because we are getting closer to God. It's not as if things are changing as much in the physical at this stage as it is in our hearts and in the spiritual. And that is beautiful. It's our commitment to just, you know, push through and to get into God's presence and to trust Him to transform us and let that new wine flow through us. So I want to this morning go on the battlefront, and I want to talk about the battle of the heart, or for the heart. And I trust that God is going to stir a few things in your heart. I guess all of us are asking some questions to God. So why do we struggle to share this gospel that He's given us? You know, why do we struggle to see results when we share? We went to the streets. We would love to see thousands saved, and at this stage the trickle is coming in, and we praise God for that. But why do we struggle to see immediate results? And then what does God expect us to share? Why does God expect us to share the gospel? And then when did Jesus ever stir His disciples to share? And I want to speak about a few of those principles this morning, as I believe that, you know, the battle of the heart is important to God. And He was very clear about that in the Gospels. And you know what? I remember years ago with my dad, over holidays, I would work with him. My dad was a very practical man. He had the ability to transform anything that looks like a lot of scrap, nonsense. You know, he would transform that into something that is beautiful. And especially over holidays, there was, for us as kids, no time to waste. You know, you don't lie and sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning. There was no such thing in the Opperman house, okay? My dad had the expectation that, listen, you're going to come and help me. And we had, I remember, a beach house. And so he would, over the holidays, do repairs and stuff, you know. And it, the most beautiful thing that I can remember about time spent with my dad was when I did things with him. When I was the one to hand over the spanner and make sure that he's got the pliers and whatever he needed. And I can remember those moments so vividly. I can remember the moments. I can even, thinking about it yesterday, I can even remember the smell, you know, of his sweat as he worked hard and labored hard. And, you know, as I remember even his dad worked with us when he still lived. And it was such a beautiful moment of impartation. I can remember him, coaching rugby. Then I would sit on the scrum machine. And as a kid, as a small boy, sitting on that scrum machine, listening how he would just throw those orders, you know, and say, run, make sure that, you know, everyone is in line and that everyone does whatever they had to do. But I can remember those moments as if it's yesterday. Those moments where I sat on that scrum machine, and I can, as I say, even my sensory perceptive, you know, sensors, you know, just got alive at that stage, you know, just smelling the grass, the fresh grass, as that scrum machine will plow through the grass. And thinking of it today, you know, thinking back, those were special times. Those were times when, you know, impartation happened. It was not just spending time with my dad. It was an impartation and a legacy that we worked at together. And if you look back at your life, then you realize that it was much more special than you even thought at that stage. You know, for me, those moments in my life is fresh. And I was thinking, you know, just of the beautiful plan that God has for our lives. And the things that we remember and how A transformation happens within us when we allow God to transform us, when we allow Him to impart those revelations. And there's moments in your life that you can actually look back to, and you can recognize that, you know, those were moments that actually formed your Christian life. And if you think back to it today, you say to yourself, listen, that was the one time that I actually listened in church. You know, when you're a preacher, you always wonder, you know, is that person really listening? Are you with me this morning? Okay. You always wonder, you know, what does people take in? And it's interesting to listen years afterwards how people was impacted through the most simple and stupid preaching. You know, the things that you actually thought was not so significant. And those amazing, you know, sermons that you had, those amazing impartations that you gave into people's lives, you know, those they don't even remember. But it's strange that moments like this transform our lives and brings us to the reality of God's Holy Spirit partnering with us in a legacy that goes beyond ourselves into the generations to come. And, you know, I find it special because I can see that when we start to reach out to people, legacies and generations is busy happening. And the heart of God is, when we partner with Him, is to get to that space, that place where we can actually realize that, you know, life without Him is such a vain life. It's such a waste. And you know what? Us as Christians, there's normally a few things that when it gets to sharing the gospel starts to impact us in our decisions and motivations to do so. And the first one is where we try to convince ourselves through revelation of information. So you would hear Christians, you know, normally speak about, I need another tool to share the gospel. You know, I've seen this with cycling as well. You will always have these conversations among yourselves about the gadgets and what you still need before you can do this race and what you can still need before you can... But those are all excuses because you must just get onto the bike and do this thing. Hey, John, you got that one. But what I realize now, because I'm as guilty as any... you know, I always say to Ed, listen, I will get this, you know, tool, and I will get this tire, and I will get these warm gloves, and then I will go with you for a ride. But you just never get to the place where you actually just do the thing. And when it gets to evangelism and the heart of God, I can promise you it's exactly the same. It's strange how Christians will always want more tools. You know, if you ask them how many courses did you do to be able to share the gospel, they would, you know, be able to mention at least one, two, three, you know, courses that they've done, but I still need another one. And it's strange how our intellect sometimes causes us to try to do certain things and get certain information so that it convinces us to actually go onto this route of sharing the gospel with people around us. And then there's the other thing, the one of, you know, just our emotions. The fact that we sometimes convince ourselves that if we wind one another up so much to go onto sharing the heartbeat of God to other people, then, you know, all of us will be ready and we will go out into the streets and do it. Okay, so we psych one another up and we make sure, let's go and do this thing. Because it's, you know, really intimidating. To share the gospel is not always so easy. But then again, you know, I listen to people when they speak about their emotions and the emotional obstacles of sharing the gospel, and you know, they would say to you, you know, I'm not really a street evangelist, so, you know, this is not really my thing. You know, I don't actually want to go into the streets. It's very difficult for me. And I just want to say to you this morning, it's difficult for all of us. But when it gets to the gospel and the heartbeat of God, I want to this morning speak about something that is precious, and that is a heart transformation. Because guess what? We can change our minds. We can change our emotions, and you can even get yourself to, in your will, make the right decisions to struggle and convince yourself that you must do this thing. But until you get a heart transformation, nothing will happen when it comes to sharing the gospel. Because sharing the gospel is not about speaking out and doing awesome stuff for God and doing God a favor. It's a lifestyle. It's who we are. It's what we do every moment of the day. Every thing that we do is measured through the glasses of the gospel, the good news in and around our lives, in the workplace, in, you know, the immediate neighborhood that you're in, the society that you are fulfilling a few roles. But it all boils down to a place called the heart, and the gospel is clear about this. Luke 18, verse 18 to 34, it says, "And he really asked you, good teacher, listen to this one, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother," speaking about the law and about the things that is right and wrong. And he said, "All these I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left his house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time, and in the age to come, eternal life." Now, this morning I want to talk about, first of all, heart. So we will be speaking about three things, and I'm hoping that this morning we can just make a little bit of a transition. We are in this battle and we're trusting God to win this war. And we know that God's greatest desire is actually three things. And that's things that I want for my daughters. I was just thinking, isn't there probably more? But, you know, the first thing that I want for my daughters is for them to be provided for. Which means that I will work very hard to earn an income and to make sure that they have everything that they need to fulfill life for the calling and promises that God has for their lives. Okay, and sometimes for you as parents here, you know that even means that you sometimes need to actually neglect yourself. That you give up certain rights and certain privileges for yourself so that your kids can actually experience the blessing of life. The second one is the one that is that of protection. The fact that God has a desire for each one of us to feel protected as his sons and daughters, so that we can do whatever he wants to do in our lives. And then thirdly, you want to see that your kids actually get along with other people. And for us, you know, having teenagers in the house, it's actually quite a new revelation, because they would come back home and they would talk about friends and friendship and relate relating to even teachers and, you know, relating to people and how relationships works in their lives. And you need to counsel them and walk this road with them so that they can actually get through these things. And this is God's desire for us. God has a desire, as I said, you know, with my dad and me spending time together, it was not about him doing stuff. It was not about him, you know, even earning money while doing those stuff, because he did sometimes, and I enjoyed being with him. But you know what? It was not about even the skills that was developed in my life as I looked at the things that he was busy doing. But it all boiled down to one thing. What is happening in his heart that he's duplicating in mine? And Father God is exactly the same. And sometimes we miss him. We think that he wants us to be on this mission, doing great, amazing things for him. And, you know, we're going to develop skills and we're going to get better at it, you know, to share the gospel and to do things for him and to disciple people. And those things so easily become idols in itself. Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
Looks like we need direction here. Guys, for me, the special moments with him is those moments where I actually can hear that excellence in his life, making sure, because he always said to me, my son, we don't do a thing halfway. You do it right or you just leave it. Okay? That was not something that he said that a skill developed a skill in me. It developed a heart's condition that formed and shaped me for the rest of my life. And when Father God comes to us and he spills his heart to us and he starts to speak to us about, you know, his heart for this world and his compassion and his passion, and we pray for 21 days and we see that in this area there's so much brokenness. You know, I really still, after all of those outreaches that we did, say praise to God, not about the salvations, there was only a few, but about what happened in my heart as I saw the brokenness in this community. I always thought that they looked so fancy and so all together in this area. Until you make them come to a standstill, say, sir, can I just quickly ask you a few questions? Do you know where your life is heading? Can we talk about love and purpose? And then when you hear them confessing that it's not going so well at home, life is not so sought out after all, then your heart starts to break for what breaks God's. And this partnership with God in sharing the gospel and sharing the things that's on his heart starts to grow on you, because it's an easy yoke, because it's his yoke. But it still is a yoke that eclipses to the extent where you start to celebrate and have joy over the things that joys his heart. And when it comes to the times that we are living in, I can tell you, for this rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus and he has this desire to actually be justified, to say that you're fine, you will go to heaven, don't worry, you've done all the commandments, you've done right, relax. And then Jesus actually comes to what matters most, not the intellect and the understanding, not the emotions of what's busy happening. Let's get to the root issue in your life. Rich young ruler, can we talk about the idols in your life? Can we talk about the things that matters most to you? Will you be able to give that up? And then Jesus says to him, listen, forget about your father and burying your father. Come and follow me. And this rich young ruler realized that that is a cost that is too costly for him to pay. You know why? Because being the eldest son meant that for him there was a double portion if he buried his father. Because it was always the right of the firstborn, the eldest son in the house, to bury his father. And with that comes the deposit of a double portion according to what everyone will get. So Jesus knew that it's not about even leaving your father and your mother. It's about getting priorities straight in your life. And I can tell you, you know, when we get to times like this where we stretch ourselves and we trust God for breakthroughs and we face our giants, we've said it a few weeks ago, we're now facing our giants and we're saying, God, please speak to me, say to me, what is the things that I must even correct in my life so that I can see your hand upon my life and I can see the direction that you are going? Because God, I'm not going to leave this place until I know what is on your heart. And those are the moments where your heart starts to eclipse with God's, and you start to celebrate the beauty of the victory that that it brings. Now, for Jesus, it meant saying to this rich young ruler, listen, you be off, it's fine, I'm not going to run after you, I'm not going to convince you to stay. But what I can tell you, if you want to come back, I'm here, ready to receive you. And then his disciples come to him and say, but what about us? We've done all that you've expected. We've done everything that that you expected us to do. We've given up our jobs, our lives, and we are following you with all of our hearts. And then the secrets of heaven gets released over this, or these disciples. Jesus says to them, when you are with me, in heaven one day, you will judge with me the people coming into eternity. Now, these are amazing things that God only bestows on people that understand an eclipse in heart with them. Now, for me, I often realize that, you know, we are in the kind of worldviews that subject us so much into the society that we are in, that we struggle to navigate ourselves even through all of these things to get to a point of reality and the truth that God has set before us. And this is the place of where you and I need to even, you know, ask ourselves, are we going to let our intellect rule our lives? Are we going to let our emotions rule our lives? Because the biblical stance is one of the heart. And that changes everything. Now, I want to explain it quickly. Because if you look back in, you know, even in the ages, there's things that change in society. Culture, a lot of the times, dictate how we respond and how we actually engage with God and understand the truths that He wants to impart into our lives. Now, if you were a Roman citizen, the values of the time was honor and shame. The fact that you would walk with a sword, and if anyone would come against the knowledge, the information, the understanding of what was your value system, your truths, then you could take out that sword and you can sort them out. Because the values that you lived by at the time was so precious to the Roman Empire that you would kill and destroy and do anything to preserve those things. But in today's society, it's all about what you feel. And so the culture that we are experiencing at the times that we are living in, and that's why it's so difficult to share the gospel, because I can tell you, when we start to share the gospel, we immediately receive the opposition of the traditions of society. The fact that today you cannot tell anyone what they should and must believe because everyone has a right to feel a certain way. Now that same person, if somebody would walk with a sword here today in the streets of Wimbledon and start to sort out a few guys that's not agreeing with his doctrine, it will mean that he will have to go to jail. So tradition and society has changed so much over the ages that we are now in another dispensation where people actually are driven by their feelings. And so you will see that the youth will have a lot of opinions about things, and they will, you know, when it gets to the gospel, easily resist it because it doesn't feel right. Are you with me this morning? And you must go with me in this journey. Because for where we find ourselves in sharing the gospel, it means that we will have to face the hard reality of the traditions and values of the people that we are serving. And as soon as we can get to understand that the biblical understanding of that is to get to neither the mind or the emotions, but to get to the most important thing, that is the heart, which dictate all of those, the will, the mind, and the emotions, we will never be able to make inroads in the society that we are in. And so, that's why culture plays such a vital role. This generation is driven by something that is called authenticity. Now, you must know this in order to understand the kind of opposition that the gospel brings in the times that we are in. This has massive implications for the church. This means that you and I cannot tell anyone about what is wrong or right, because they will be offended, and they will easily, you know, say, mind your own business, you know, if it works for you, well done. The only problem is that we know that truth goes beyond our immediate understanding. Truth comes to a place where, you know, God gave us the instruction manual, and as long as we keep to that instruction manual, we will experience life. And so society can reject whatever is the truth, and it will have certain consequences. Now, this for us is important, in when we share the gospel, it also brings us to that heart conversation. The fact that a few things must change in our approach in sharing the gospel and getting to the heart's issues of man. This generation, and the first one, and I want you to, if you can, write it down, because these things we'll get back to and begin to discuss them again. This generation, first of all, can relate to passionate living. Why? They love to connect to imaginative, perceptive ideas that others share. We need to change perceptions of the church. And I can tell you the biggest problem that we have with the church today is that we don't portray the love of God as it should be. Still, the church, in the perceptions of people and of the young people that are out there, is that of a cold, hostile place. Because we don't share the emotions that people are living with, and we are not living with the passions of Christ is in us. We don't live according to Jesus, you have transformed me, and the authenticity in my life means that I must be so honest about where I'm at. So we want to be this perfect people that has everything all together, and the generations that is coming into the church now, the young people, is just asking, but listen, is this gospel really changing your life? And that's my question to you this morning. Because if it's not, it's going to be very difficult to reach out to a society that wants authenticity, that wants to see, listen, you know, yes, I'm emotional and I want to work through emotional things and I want to, but yet Jesus had the ability to meet people where they were at and got to the heart condition of man through their emotional state. And so when we start to share the gospel, and when we start to share the heartbeat of God to the communities that we are in, we need to get real about the fact that we are serving passionate people. You know, the world gets ruled by perceptions these days. You know, it's strange how the media can manipulate us, and you know, our Facebook, we can run off on a you know, on tangent, and then we never even do any investigation about the truth, about the information that's behind it. These days, at least, I see in the UK, you know, there's efforts to investigate certain social media things that's running around, to just find, is it true, before we can just, you know, promote it over the social media. I'm having a conversation with you this morning because I can tell you, sharing the gospel needs to transform our lives. If the gospel is not strengthening you and changing your life, don't expect this generation to be impacted. Don't think that people are going to come and sit here in church and they're going to hear, make decisions for Christ anymore. They want to see the real Jesus out there, and they're going to. The only thing that changes the youth of today is if they can see fruit in your life. If they can see it works for you and you can actually produce the kind of fruit that is transforming, then they would say, listen, I can take this. I can run with this. And so, the unfortunate thing is that, again, by perceptions, we see through social media and so many other conversations that's going around, always the perfect actor and the perfect person being on the forefront. And yet, I can tell you, if you scratch a little, you can see that there's not a lot of depth in there. But we have the answer. We have a gospel that can transform people's lives. But it must first transform yours. You must be so proud of what Christ has done in your life that you will always be able to testify of His goodness. And so authenticity starts with a conversation about, what is God doing in your life? Is He transforming your family life? Is He transforming your workplace? Or is it again the box scenario, the religious box scenario, where I can kick that religious box under the bed after the Sunday and the rest of the week I just, you know, make sure that I survive. And then next Sunday I'm wind up again, woo! You know, in church, and we can have nice stuff going, okay? We can blow the horn and we can do the cartwheels and we can... And I've got great respect, and you know, it's so beautiful this morning that we can blow the ram's horn. But what I want to say to you, it does not stop here. Amen. Because this partnership with Christ is much more... It's much more than just a, let's go to the streets and share the gospel. It's not just a once-off event that you and I can go to and think that now we've done Jesus a favor. There's a transformation that happens within our hearts when we start to share the gospel and enter into that realm and say, Jesus, I don't know how I'm so freaked out. It's not easy, but I'm going to do it. You know why? Because Jesus... You need to be a revelation to everyone that don't have you, because you are transforming my life. And so when it gets to Christianity, I can tell you, if we want to reach this generation, make sure to get to a conversation about how we're going to change the perceptions of the kids out there that is running with perceptions about the church, because they don't see the true change, the fruit, and the passion that we should live by. If we are passionate in the workplace, if we are passionate, passionately serving, you know, people will start to pick up on that and say, listen, they're crazy. But I remember, you know, the first time that I got to Shofar Church, I was freaked out. I thought they're a crazy bunch of people. Walking around our hostel, taking crosses around, anointing, you know, the hospital. But one thing that I had to say to one of my friends that we were busy discovering, we said, you know, these crazy people. But both of us had to say to one another, listen, one thing we cannot deny is they are passionate about what they're doing. They love Jesus. And that drew me to what God has had in store at that stage. I want to say to you this morning, you know, if we want the gospel to have an impact, live as passionate people. Not just when you're here on a Sunday and we can woo-hoo, holy camoli with one another, but every day. Amen. Even if it needs to, you know, get our focus straight and phoning your friend and say, just pray for me because I really feel intimidated by this boss in my work. Are you with me this morning? There's certain things that we need to go and grab from God. When I spend time with my dad, you know, even today when he's on his sickbed, I would sit down with him and I would look in his eyes and I would have deep conversations with him, even though he cannot respond. Because I know there's an impartation. There's a partnership, and Christ wants to partner with you. He's got a desire to bring you to the place where you can actually passionately live for Him. The second thing about about this conviction of the heart is we need to become practical about how the truths of God is impacting our everyday life. Going into the pubs, going into the workplace, practical things that will show people how to live Christian life. And this is, I can tell you, this is for the church, new ground, because the church wants to stay in the church and in its holy bubble. But we need to actually step out and say, God, we don't know how to do this, but we want to go out there and just bring the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. We want to be practical about this. And so you will see that questions and differences as opposition from people that we are busy sharing the gospel with and people in your workplace that you are sharing with, you sometimes feel like, you know, this is just a threat. This is just such a opposition to the truth that you know and you want to. But I can tell you, in the society that we are in now, the times that we're going to spend around practical questions and deep concerns in people's hearts is going to be real. Those practical concerns will be of such that you and I will have to go and sit with people and answer their questions, and it will take us days sometimes to say, in my life I also don't get everything right. How do you live this Christian thing? How do you do this Christian thing? But to get practical is to get to the place of being confronted even with very difficult questions about how do we apply the principles of Christ in the times that we are in. So I've shared with you what this one pastor in Mitcham said to me the other day. And he said to me, and for those of you that didn't hear it, he said, you know, he was so convicted by God when he read some of the fathers in the faith, and he realized that, they've spent hours and hours praying and consecrating themselves to Christ, and, you know, out of that inner room experiences, they brought the life and even the books that they wrote. And he says, God convicted him one day and said, but listen, all of these distractions like mobile phones and work pressures and heavy schedules and calendars that need to be, you know, it feels like if I want to have a meeting with anyone, I must make it a year in advance, you know, things like that. All of those busy things that happens in our lives, yeah, those are real things, but I can tell you, we are placed in a time such as this to find the answers. We are the Spurgeons of the time. We are the Wesleys. We are the people that actually must go into the inner room and ask God, where is our priorities? Where do we get those things straight? How do we get answers to everyday life? Spurgeon and Wesley did not live in 2019. They were not confronted with heavy bombardment of WhatsApp messages. But they were faithful to the things that was bothering them and distracting them at the time. My question to you this morning is, if the gospel is so real in your life, if you want to share the gospel, just make sure that you know that God has placed you as an agent here in the time that you are living so that you will find the answers, practical answers to a society that desperately don't know the answers. Psychological institutions are full these days. You know, our people are more addicted than ever. And we think that we've got the answers in rejecting the gospel and so many other truths. But I can tell you that at this stage, we as Christians have a responsibility to be the light, to be the practical implementation. And that means to be real. Because you're not going to have all the answers. But authenticity and sharing the gospel in the times that we are in means that you will have to be true and truthful to where you are at with Christ. Which means that even I as a pastor must be very honest with you in saying that, listen, I don't have everything together. Can we just get that straight? Sometimes I make horrible mistakes. But walk this journey with me. Because I'm at least willing to get closer to Christ. I'm at least willing to walk out in the gospel and say, Christ, transform me. I don't want to be the same. I want to say to you this morning, the gospel that we are busy presenting brings us to the challenge of very practical answers to the day and age that we are in. Thirdly, it says, you know, that fairy tales, and I like J.R.R. Tolkien, the guy of The Hobbit, and, you know, you guys will know him that wrote those beautiful stories, Lord of the Rings. he mentioned a few things that makes fairy tales. He said, a fairy tale with the following will always capture its audience. Escape time, it's timeless. Escape death. Fellowship with non-human beings. And perfect love from which they are never parted. And triumph over evil. If a fairy tale is written in such a way, it will always be a success story. You know what? If I read these things, I get so excited because I just realize that, listen, the gospel that I have has all of those things in it. Amen. The beautiful thing about sharing the gospel is that, you know, it escapes time. It escapes death. Fellowship with non-human beings. God is with us and His angels ministers to us. What an exciting life. That if we enter into it, we can be transformed. Fellowship with non-human beings. And then perfect love from which they are never parted. Jesus promised, I will never leave you. I will always love you. I will always be there for you. And it triumphs over evil. The gospel that we have in our hands is the precious story of the good end. Amen. And I love Jesus. Because I know He's the victor. I don't want to serve anything that loses. I've got a winning God. And sharing the gospel in the times that we are in, the battle for our hearts, means that you and I will have to understand that we've got something that we can actually be proud of. Because the message of Christ is transforming my life. The message of Christ brings me to a place where I can actually share and see results. And then fourthly, a message of the good news is only good if it ends with Jesus. Your message will stay a message that is nice, and if it works for you, it's good for you until Jesus comes into the story. Now I want to say to you, you know what? Some of you even said to me, and I admit, you know, for myself it's the same, that when sharing the gospel, you know, it's easy to make contact sometimes with people on a social level, to connect with them in heart and to talk to them about all kinds of life things. You know, how's your day? You know, the weather is amazing today. It's easy to make that connection, but to bridge that into a conversation of the gospel and eternity and God is a very difficult thing. I want to say to you this morning, that's normal, that's fine. And I've got respect for that. But one thing that I do know is, when Jesus enters your story, things start to change. When the Holy Spirit back you and start to impact your story and your life in such a way that you can experience Him happening in and around you, life starts to happen. Because your story will be boring without Jesus. Your message, your Sunday school story, will be boring until Jesus comes into the equation. I want to just say this. Sharing the gospel without a divine aspect to it will question its authority. That's why signs and wonders, prophecy and godly wisdom transforms. And that's why when you start to step out and trust God to reach into people's lives, and you've got the backing of the Holy Spirit and a divine understanding of God's supernatural living all around you. And Jesus is a person. Jesus is not a religion. He's not a set of rules. He's not an empty building. Jesus is a reality to each one of us. If you can start to testify about how He transforms your life, Lara, beautiful this morning. He's transforming your life. And you know what? You're transforming ours. Because when you worship, when you start to speak about the true realities of what Christ is busy doing in your life, you are sharing the gospel. And we make it so difficult. We want to have the five, you know, laws of gospel sharing and, you know, the 20 scriptures that you must be able to quote. And are you with me this morning? We are as bad as the Romans. We want to have these convictions and nice, you know, intellectual conversations about what is society and what is important to society. And all that you must do is talk about what Christ has done for you. Amen. You know what? There's no right or wrong way. Because if they see life, they will be attracted to it. Because when Christ starts to transform you and healing starts to take place, not because you are so anointed, and stop to think that you're not anointed enough. It's that moment of obedience when you get to the tube station and that guy is walking with his crutch. And Christ says to you, listen, just pray for the guy that he can walk. It's not necessary that he suffers so much. And all that you do is you just put your hand there. Okay. You're also bold. You get it all right. Hey. I remember once going to the hospital, and there was this one lady, but she was quite a renowned lady, you know, in the society. She was a head teacher of the town that I was ministering in, and she was, she was quite a, you know, lady. And but she had cancer, and I was just so afraid to pray for her. And I remember when she was sleeping, I was sitting next to the bed, and I was just laying on my hand on her, and I was just hoping nobody's coming in, and she's not getting awake, so I can just do this prayer. I was a young pastor at that stage, and I was just thinking, you know, what if my faith doesn't work for this thing? What if this lady, you know, opens her eyes and she sees this guy that's busy praying over her, and he's so passionate, but nothing is happening. But I can tell you, the gospel transforms us when we are sincere before God and we just follow Him in obedience. That's where the heart of the gospel starts to transform us. You know what? It's all about the lens that you and I look through life. We can walk out of this building, and you can come back to us here in the building. You can say, "Yuch, the streets are so filthy, and the people, you know, just people here in London, it's terrible. You know, it's just the ladies must just close their clothes." You know, just close their clothes and just make sure that it's such a lustful environment. And you know what? There's so many people that's sinning. There's so many. Oh, you can do like Christ does. He enters into society and he looks through the love of God. He says, "There's hope." Because if God would have looked through the lenses of sin to us, we would have been dead today. But Christ came with the lenses of God. And he looked at society. He walked to a woman at a well that doesn't have a good reputation. He would say to her, "Listen, there's life in me. You know what? God loves you." Church has become so perfect in trying to put a facade there that we've got it all together. Sharing the gospel means that you must share life. means that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get it all so wrong. But when you partner with Jesus, the gospel unfolds. And you just see how Jesus starts to transform your life and people's lives around you. So my appeal to you this morning is, and I didn't even get to point 2 and 3 this morning, but I want to end off by asking you to quickly stand. I still wanted to get to partnership with Christ and faithfulness, maybe another day. But what I can say to you, just the amazing thing about faithfulness is that you keep on doing the same old truth over and over until Christ comes through. The beautiful thing about God the Father is when he looks at us and he sees us fulfilling these truths and engaging with his heart and sharing his heart with people around us, and even if we don't see, there comes a point where God says, listen, I'm so proud of this son of mine. I'm so proud of this daughter of mine. You know, they're persistently just doing the truth. I want to spoil them. I want to just lavish them with the promises that I've ever had over their lives. I just want to see them experience my life in abundance. And sometimes it takes years of faithfulness, faithful giving and transforming your own life. But by the time that you get to see the breakthrough, God's heart opens like a well of living water over your life. You start to live. All that I'm saying to you is, don't stop doing what Christ expects you to do, because he loves you and he loves to partner with you and he loves to have this conversation. And my biggest challenge is the one of the pearl in the field. Would I set all my priorities to get to that one precious, precious, precious pearl? Will I leave everything behind and say, only Christ can satisfy me? And so I want to just say to you this morning, when we share the gospel, praise God for doing the gospel. For stepping out and saying, God, I want to just be faithful. I'm going to go into my workplace. I'm going to just share the gospel. I'm just going to talk about you, Jesus, because you are amazing. You are the priority of my life, and my budget, my priorities, my calendar, my everything gets focused on what is precious to you, because my life is here to glorify you. You know what? When we reach that point, our hearts get transformed and people's hearts around us get transformed, because they realize what the heartbeat of the Father is, that faithfully he will wait for us. We're doing all the stuff wrong that we can, and yet his desire is just to say, my son, my daughter, be in partnership with me because I love people. And God is a collective God. Even though we want to believe that he's an individualistic God, speaking to each one of us, individually, the gospel is a collective gospel, one that reaches beyond the individual into the hearts of the society that we are in. And I'm just trusting God that, you know what, where you are at, know that God is moving with you, and God is for you, and he loves you enough that he's going to give you all the tools that you need to share the gospel. He's going to share with you all the divine interventions that you need in your life. But when you start to walk in obedience, he penetrates your heart and transforms. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Can I get the worship guys just quickly? Because this morning I just want to trust that that we're going to enter into that new wine. that place where, you know, God can just come and speak to us about his heart. His heart for the people around us, for us, for placing you here as an individual, but also collectively with the people that are surrounding you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see how Christ put certain relationships together so you can fulfill his kingdom. It's beautiful. Thanks for the kitchen yesterday, Chrissy. Don't know if all of you know that she worked very long to paint that kitchen for us. You know, it's so amazing to see how everyone comes to their right and their fulfillment. The scripture this morning, Ruth, was so spot on. It's actually what I would have shared as well. Is that partnership brings us to a place where we can not be in competition with one another or with people around us or even with the world, but a place where we can surrender to Christ and his purposes in and around us. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. We thank you for your desires for our lives and the fact that you this morning want to speak to each one of us. Father, I pray that you will come and speak into each one of us individually this morning. Christ, transform us. We bring our brokenness before you. Father, we bring our efforts even to you this morning. We say thank you, Father, that we could partner with you. The privilege is ours. We're not doing you a favor, oh God, but it's amazing that when we step out in faith, you will want the best for us. You want to lavish us with all the resources that we need, all the breakthroughs that is necessary. And oh God, we come to you this morning. And we ask you, come and stir within our hearts such a conviction that our will, our emotions, and our minds will be directed by our heart. That those things will not dictate our lives. That those things will not be the priority in our lives. That we will start to embrace your truths that's transforming us in such a way that we can go out and share the gospel and just trust you. God, I pray that you will teach us. We want to see your miracles. We want to see, Father God, that every time that we pray for a person, it will be spot on. It will be a prophecy, a word of knowledge. It will be a breakthrough, Father God, that will transform their lives. Because you've set us here, Father, for a purpose. And I pray this morning that we will not be able to go through one day without a divine intervention in our lives. I pray, Father God, that we will have more than 21 days of prayer. That, Father, we will be more vigilant than ever to not miss your will. That we will not, Father God, serve our own lustly desires. Yes. But, oh God, that we will be awake and ready and vigilant to follow your kingdom. And I pray, Father God, as you share your heart of the gospel with us, that you'll also guide us to implement it practically in the society that we're in. We need practical answers. We need wisdom, O God. There's even questions that people bombard us with, Father, that we don't have answers to. And it is anything, Father God, from why you would hurt people if you love them, to brokenness to such an extent of asking, where is God when I need him most? I pray, Father God, that you will bring us to a constant state of vigilance. A constant state where we can see people's lives transform around us because we are on your page. Father, I pray that the gospel will become so part of us that our lenses will not look at the negativity of this world and the negative report, but rather, Father God, walk into the streets from here, into the streets of London, Father God, and we will see the positive always. We will see, Father God, how you transform, how you, Father God, want communion with people. Because wherever you are, there's life. And this morning I pray in the name of Jesus, let the gospel become real. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to just pray over one another before we leave. I want to just say to you this morning, you know what, this is a journey for me as well. I'm honest with you. I'm very transparent about the fact that, you know, sharing the gospel is not easy in the streets of London. But it's doable. And that's the hope that I have, is that, you know, as I'm obedient to Christ, I can see that he's at work. And for him, nothing is hard ground. This is not harder than any place in the world. You must just find the way to penetrate. And that's why I have this message with to you this morning. We get so easily intimidated by the intellectual bombardment that people want to throw at us and make us to engage into, or the emotional. And we forget, let it just transform you. If it transforms you, it will transform those around you. So I want you to quickly just turn to the person next to you, and let's just pray this morning for that moment with the Father. When you do the spannering with him, you know, the spanners and the tools and the pliers and the, and you pick up on his heart. Because we get so indulged with all the stuff that we do for him if we don't pick up on his heart. And this morning I want us to just receive his heart. Is that all right? So let's just quickly turn to one another, and let's end off this morning in consecrating ourselves. Thank you for coming. It's really been a blessing. There's coffee afterwards. So if you need any prayer, we'll be here praying for you. So please don't leave if you need prayer. But enjoy some coffee with us after the prayer. Amen. Blessings.